Welcome in to Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Warriors stack another one, complete the sweep of the back-to-back in Charlotte, and then in Madison Square Garden, where Steph Curry is now 13-1, dating back to his Davidson days, but you already knew that. Steph gave us the show that we expected, that we wanted, that we knew was going to happen. It took him till the second half to really open it up, like he has done a lot of times this season, but it came, shots fell, rest of the Warrior shots started falling. The defense held them together the entire game once the Knicks stopped making these little mid-range kind of elbow jumpers. And the Warriors hold on to win an exciting, hard-fought game. First real test, and I'll use that lightly, but just because it's on the road, the environment, the stakes, you know, kind of on a back-to-back. And yes, it's the Knicks, but there was no Karl Anthony Towns, who is a huge mismatch and a big problem for the Warriors. You know, these stretch centers we've seen in the past, you know, your Anthony Davises, who isn't really a stretch, but just guys that can hurt you inside out with their size as a shooter, just really kind of spread that defense thin, has hurt the Warriors. Think Naz Reid, but, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, essentially. But yeah, that's passed the test against a team with very good defenders. You know, wing defenders have tended to give the Warriors a lot of trouble, especially on Steph. You know, you put the length of your Anunobis, your Michael Bridges, even your Josh Harts on him. And Brunson, not the best defender, but, you know, he's athletic. He's quick. He can kind of get after it as well. And then you also have a rim protector, which, you know, without Karl Anthony Towns, Mitchell Robinson got a ton of run, which has been the Warriors' bugaboo is rim protection. And you saw it in the first half. Warriors just really struggled to get anything at the hoop. Robinson was affecting everything. We already know the Warriors might be the worst layup team I've seen in the past decade. Just not enough length, athleticism to finish at the rim. Everything's rushed. Everything's hurried. I don't know what happens to the Warriors when they get 5 feet and in. But, you know, and including Steph, including Jimmy Butler, you know, just not quite finishing. Makes the need for Jonathan Kuminga that much more evident because, I mean, having seen enough here, I mean, Jonathan Kuminga is the best finisher at the hoop on this team, so we would really like to see him back. But all that said, the Warriors find a way to score enough points. They drop, I think, 112, so that, you know, they're still scoring. Once the shot started falling, they still didn't shoot great from the outside. But what did it for the Warriors is their off-ball movement, off-ball cutting. They did not stop attacking the hoop in the second half, despite all the issues they were having in that first half. Knicks a lot of defensive lapses, but that's what the Warriors will do to you. That's what the Warriors' movement is designed to do. It takes advantage of defensive lapses. Steph Curry has made a living and then some off of defensive lapses. It's the teams that have more discipline and a rim protector where you see the Warriors really struggle and never really get out of the slump. But the Warriors, looked like a half of, hey, this is the same old Warriors that just can't score a bucket. Buddy Hield can't make a shot. Steph is missing layups. We're not really getting to the line. Jimmy Butler's not shooting enough. He can't hit a shot either except for at the hoop. Moody's been cold. Pajemski played well, but still didn't shoot great. But again, the Warriors just have enough connective pieces, enough movement, and just kind of keep on just chipping away, just kind of sticking with it. It's like, and remember the Titans, you know, Coach Boone, you know, says, gets asked, you know, you only have what, 6 plays? Say, yeah, that's all I need. When you run the split veer, just give it time. It's like Novocaine. It always works. And that's just the worst motion offense. It doesn't always work, but you kind of just force teams to stay disciplined, attached to Steph Curry. And over the course of 4 quarters, when they start getting tired legs, chasing him around, chasing everyone else around, bumping with Jimmy Butler, bumping with Draymond Green, that towards the end of that 3rd quarter, defenses start wearing down. 4th quarter, they start making mistakes. And all of a sudden, you see Buddy Hield spring open, finally knocks down a couple of threes. Steph gets some space, gets up a lot of open-ish threes, but open enough for him to knock them down. And just a ton of back cuts and a ton of fouls at the hoop where, you know, I would make the Warriors try to finish, but Credit Jimmy Butler, credit a few of the other guys, just kind of getting inside, throwing the body around, finding ways to get to the line. And offensively, it was enough to get it done because the defensive effort is what won the Warriors this game. Honestly, the Knicks were lucky to score 102 points. I swear the first half, what were they, like 8 for 10 on their first 10 shots, and like 9 were just mid-range jumpers by Anunoby, not a great shooter. The Knicks were just kind of living in that mid-range, and evened out where they stopped making those corner threes with bad shooters. But it starts with the Warriors' point of attack defense on a night where you don't have Andrew Wiggins anymore. Gary Payton II's out with a non-displaced nose fracture, which means it didn't pop out of place, but he's got a fracture there, and I don't know how long he's going to be out at the time of me sharing this podcast, but he's probably gonna be back with a mask soon, and you're losing your best point of attack defender for a while. Jimmy Butler, we thought he'd be kind of thrown into that role, but Jimmy Butler's not really the primary point of attack defender. He's better off ball and help on that wing, especially against the better guards of the league. So it's been left up to Moses Moody and Brandon Podziemski, who the latter, I thought, well, they both did a very good job, but Podziemski's just energy and force. And, he's moving his feet. He's quick. Obviously, he's undersized and under athletic, but he made Brunson work. He made Brunson kind of work to get to spots, and they're making them work hard enough where the true strength, obviously, of this Warriors defense is the help defense, namely Draymond Green, who is just always there to clean up anything. And Jimmy Butler is now there to clean up attack, dribble penetration. And then what used to be the biggest problem, we haven't had to talk about it too much this year, but last year it was all we said was over helping on defense. You don't see as much over helping unless it's a guy that you don't mind, shooting, your Josh Harts and your, Precious Achiuwas of the league, much better staying home by the guards. And that includes, Pods, Moody, Steph, whoever's kind of being that point of attack defender, is trailing the play after a screen. Help comes. They're not giving up on the play. They're going and rotating to the shooters in the corners. And that's been the difference between basically the Warriors of the last couple of years defensively and this year. Not as many open threes, and quite frankly, we're just not getting the threes just aren't falling as much against us as they were last year from all sorts of no-name sources. So the odds sort of play out in effect as well. But I just want to shout out Pods. I want to shout out Moody because they've really stepped up with the absence of Wiggins. I assume when Kuminga comes back, depending how that ankle is, they're going to put him on ball a lot, especially against your wings and more athletic forwards in the league. Kuminga is better on ball than he is off ball, so I can see him being in that role, and we'll just kind of see how much that ankle can really hold up. But I expect Kuminga to add a bit to that point of attack defense. We'll see how it fills in behind if he can continue to play good off ball D, like I was just talking about. I guess I'm surprised because I thought Jimmy Butler would basically step into that Wiggins role, but we've learned that, like Draymond, he's facilitating on both sides of the ball where. And he's, still getting in shape too. So him being able to be off the ball defensively, see the court, kind of just, help where help is needed, jump a passing lane, switch where he's needed. But, Jimmy Butler is just one of those smart defenders, and you can see it defensively and offensively that once he gets his legs under him, once the stakes are raised, I mean, he's sleepwalking into 18 points, 19 points a game right now. Like, defensively, I expect him to just be a shutdown defender when time comes, and I expect him to be taking an extra 4, 5, 6 shots per game, taking some mid-range jumpers. I don't care if they're contested. That's a good look for the Warriors, and Jimmy's just gonna get that confidence and that shot back, and then he might be up closer to 23, 24 points a game, and that's where games are gonna start being won because the extra few points and a little bit of more of a scoring there from Butler is still what the Warriors are missing. He's been good. He's been okay. The Warriors have been good. Butler's been okay offensively as a scorer, especially. A lot of room to grow. The key is what he's done for the other players. And Jimmy's raised the level for Podziemski. He's raised the level for Moody. He's raised the level for Steph. And when you couple that with who is clearly hands down the greatest of all time to increase his teammates and Steph Curry with his spacing and playmaking. Those two together, plus the ball moving, plus the movement in general, you can see why it's so hard to guard the Warriors. Now you're going to add back soon their best slasher, cutter to the hoop, finisher in Jonathan Kuminga. And all these looks that you see Gi Santos getting, these open dunks down the lane, these open threes, which you could argue who's a better shooter between Gi and Kuminga. And then a little bit more where he's just kind of getting stuck, can't quite finish in the lane. Those are Jonathan Kuminga, and you're going to get an extra 6 to 10 points a game just on those type of plays and in transition from Kuminga finishing at the hoop and what he does best. Again, assuming he's healthy. So we're hopeful. I think Kuminga's close. There's a chance he plays Thursday. We haven't heard otherwise. They might be waiting until he gets home and just let him settle in. But I wouldn't mind just letting him get a few minutes under him. Even if you're just going to play him 15 minutes, you know, he's going to be rusty. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be disjointed. But get him just a few minutes under him, just kind of ease him back into it. So that way, when you get your home stand, he's kind of getting up to speed by next week. But going to the Kuminga conundrum, right? So where are the minutes going to come from? I mean, until that fourth quarter little splurge, I mean, Buddy Hield, man, it's hard. It's very love hate with Buddy. It's oftentimes 90% just like, dude, get this guy out of here. Like all he can do is space the floor for you, and most of the time he's shooting 30% on 8 to 10 shots from three. So what's he actually doing? He's providing spacing, but it's just at a certain point, spacing is just spacing. And, you know, maybe it's opening up a little bit more room for someone to score, call it a bucket or two, or a slightly more open, clean look or two per game. It's just there's too many negative plays. Defensively, we don't even have to talk about that. Offensively, it's just terrible turnovers. You have the New York crowd literally chanting, "Buddy, buddy," after one terrible sequence, and then again after another turnover. Ugh, man, it's tough. Buddy has too many negative plays for the spacing he provides. So I would rather, I mean, just give Kuminga, you know, bring Buddy down to 15 to 17 minutes now, and Kuminga inherits those, you know, maybe another 10 of those minutes. He inherits Gi Santos's 10 to 12 minutes he's playing, inherits a little bit of Moody's minutes, and now you kind of see how it comes together. But we're gonna figure this out really soon because Kuminga does bring what the Warriors have been doing well, but also still missing. It's getting to the hoop, getting to the line, and then finishing at the hoop is the one thing that we don't have right now. Little tidbits. I mean, just this Warriors, just in general. I mean, this run since they had Jimmy Butler, obviously they are 9-1 now, 10-1 with Jimmy Butler. Turnovers way down. Tonight only 11. Last night against the Hornets, 8, I believe, is what I saw. I think they're averaging under 12 turnovers per game since they got Jimmy Butler, down from like a little over 14 per game throughout the rest of the season. And since they've had Jimmy Butler, I believe they're like second or third in turnover percentage. I mean, that's winning in the margins, guys. You know, every turnover is a possession. Every possession analytically is a point. So you're saving yourself 2.5 points, 3 points sometimes right there alone the last 11 games. Then you're getting to the free throw line as much as any team in the league. You're knocking them down as much as any team in the league. We already talked about how sustainable that may or may not be, but I do know that Jonathan Kuminga is going to raise the amount of free throw attempts that this team tapes because he's getting to the line at least six to eight times per game. So yeah, I mean, we're talking about, hey, you're winning these extra 7, 8 points just on turnovers and getting to the line more. You know, throw in a few more points just on movement and gravity, just kind of back cuts, throw in another bucket or two, just getting out in transition once Kuminga comes back and Jimmy Butler gets up to speed. That's the thing that's been kind of missing is the transition game on this team. You know, I thought with Jimmy Butler here, you know, gives us that athleticism and we're gonna get out and run. Not the case. Jimmy Butler, slow it down, let's be safe, and that's why we're not turning the ball over as much. But you do need that element of scoring in transition. We can't have any more of these Gi Santos's 3-on-1 and he's just getting blocked at the rim. You can't have any more of these throwaways or, you know, settling into a contested three when you have a 2-on-1. Like these possessions aren't good enough. Give the ball to Kuminga in transition. It's an automatic bucket. So those, you know, now you can see how this team could potentially be, you know, a 10, 11 points better than the team before the trade deadline. And then the defense is always going to be there, and you can hang your hat on that. And that's how this team is going to get, you heard it here first, at least to the second round of the NBA playoffs. And anything can happen if you're not playing the Thunder. Anything can happen even if you're playing the Thunder. That West is just so balanced, and the Warriors can beat anybody, but also be beat by anyone. Last thoughts, just rotation. So just kind of what we're seeing and what I expect to see when Kuminga comes back is, so we know our starters. First of all, let me back up. I love that we're getting more consistent rotations. You know, players just playing the same five players or the same core four players a lot more minutes together. Took a lot of tinkering. It took a lot of Kerr criticism, but we've kind of finally found the pairs or the combos of people that work for the most part, right? So we have our starters, which I assume is going to stay the same. Kuminga will probably come off the bench, but you know the starters. What the Warriors kind of tend to do from there is they leave Steph in first rotations. They'll eventually kind of bring in GP2 and Buddy Hield, pair them together because we know that they played well in combo with Steph. Then Looney comes in, kind of play, you know, and replace Draymond for a breather. And then what you're going to get is Jonathan Kuminga with that unit. So it's really just been Steph and a whole bunch of just G League guys for a while. Just relying on just enough spacing from Buddy for Steph to just, you know, be aggressive and cast up shots. Add Kuminga to that lineup. Now we're talking, you know, it's again, Curry, GP2, Buddy, Kuminga, Looney. Solid lineup. That's what we're going to have to see gels. Start of the second quarter or start of the fourth quarter, Kerr's going back to that same unit of Draymond, Butler, Pajemski. Love those three together. Moody typically with them, but those three have been just the core. And then they're putting Quinton Post in with them just to give them that stretch five look. And Post has been great with that lineup. And I think he didn't have a great game tonight, but you can see the improvements on defense. He's moving his feet. He's contesting, fouling a lot less. Not perfect, but fouling a lot less. And that guy is just wet. Whether it's the corner or the top, that guy can catch. It's up quick. He can shoot. I mean, he's kind of giving you that Klay Thompson look. Just the quick catch and release, just spacing the floor as a center, and then just giving you just that size on defense. And paired with Draymond at the defensive end to kind of cover up some of the deficiencies, it's been a great unit. And then from there, you know, you get Steph Curry kind of coming in, and then it kind of layers in from there where Steph plays with the backups again, and then it all comes together and you finish with your small ball five once again. And that's going to be the recipe. So we'll see how it layers in. We'll see, you know, where the minutes kind of play out when Kuminga gets there, but nice to see some consistency. And at this point in the year, you know, you're going to have your two or three just kind of main lineups, and you're going to have to ride them until the wheels fall off or get you to the promised land. All right. Good job, guys. Let's take care of the last one on this road trip I think we're 3-1 on this trip. Brooklyn, which last game of the road trip, always a tough one. You got home in sight. The Warriors have been on the road for 11 of their last 13 games. Well, I guess they were home for the All-Star break, but they're dying to get home. Let's not look ahead. Let's take care of business in Brooklyn and then come home. And we should be at full health, hopefully, at that point. Guys, it's been fun. If you haven't, like, subscribe, follow this channel. Let's get it off and running, get some momentum here. I'm trying to get to 150 subscribers on at least on YouTube. So I think we're like, 135, 136. So help me boost it up. That's been my goal all season. Hopefully the Warriors get a little juice heading into the playoffs. If we get to 150, you have my word, the Warriors will be winning the championship this year. Ooh, what a promise. All right, you guys, have a good one. I've been Chris Chin, and until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.